This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neej and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinnidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello to our Nevan listeners and welcome everyone to Neej and Footy Fridays, your Pacific preview for the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Chinnidal Arona and alongside me is a man that usually opens up our show and sets the tone, my colleague, Sammy Wykes.
Oh, kia ora, tea.
What do you reckon? How did I go?
Yeah, not bad, mate. And can you explain why are we changing it up just a little bit?
Well, I thought I'd get a little bit of practice in because we have a little surprise for our listeners next Friday and we'll save it for then.
Yeah, beautiful tea. Well done. We have a big episode again planned today. Man, can you give me a tip on my tipping? I haven't even got anything in my own sport, rugby union, so I am struggling there, but I'm going to have another crack this week. I love hearing from Sulla and Tortai every week, hearing their insights. We spoke to one of Sulla's teammates on Monday, Pauline, and we're going to ask her about Pauline standing at the Tigers and her leadership, so which will be good around that. But jam-packed, rugby news, rugby league. Let's rip in.
Hey, it's Payne Hussey from the Brisbane Broncos. You are listening to Neej and Footy.
All right, it's time to check in on the week of footy since we last chatted. T, rugby league.
Yeah, let's kick off. So last night we seen the Brisbane Broncos play the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Broncos winning this game 28-18. We seen tries from Dean Mariner and Reece Walsh with some individual brilliance, you know, recognising some space in the middle and using his speed to break through for a try. Mate, this guy's a young superstar and he's ready to light up the NRL competition again. But in the second half, you know, Souths came back with a strong start. Only 2 minutes in to the second half, we've seen Tongan Saliva Havili barge over for a try. And then 3 minutes later, he sets up my Cook Islander brother, also Tongan, Davey Mwali, for his first NRL try.
Kalol Matangi to play it a couple of metres out. Cook to the right, gives it on to Havili, who puts Mwali in right next to the sticks. And lickety-split, the Bunnies will be back on level terms. Brisbane has not had the ball.
But the Brisbane Broncos were too strong in the end, coming back with a strong run. Jesse Arthurs and Reece Walsh again scoring tries, but there was a nice, beautiful try from Dean Mariner with a nice chip over the top to seal the Broncos' win.
Blindside last play. It's Walters giving it to Mariner. Chip and charge down the eastern touchline. Brilliant bounce. Mariner seals it with a piece of individual brilliance. Scores the try. Broncos will win it.
T, just on the South's performance, obviously none from two. Obviously, it's still early days. Do you think Jack Whiten, when he comes back, is he going to be the difference to spark life into this South Sydney team?
I don't think they're far off, South. You know, they competed. You've seen in that back end. They know how to score points. But just when you look at the defensive stats, you know, I've got here, they missed 44 tackles to the Brisbane Broncos, 19 tackles. Now, when you miss that many tackles, you're making up for other people's mistakes. Also, Damian Cook, he got sent off for 10 minutes, so they were playing 10 minutes with a man down, and then fatigue starts to kick in. So I think Jack Whiten would definitely add a bit of spark to that team. But yeah, still early days. You know, you don't win competitions in, what do we, March? In other news, we also seen Spencer Leniu. He got handed 8 weeks suspension from the NRL, and I thought there was a really nice moment at the Dragons. It's nice to show some love for our Dragons, Illawarra Dragons fans. Viliami Fifita, he makes his first grade debut and then gets the first grade parking spot, which they post on social media. When it comes to NRL debuts or Super Rugby debuts, and then you are now part of that tribe that you get the honours, is there anything in your career where, you know, Super Rugby players get privileged with over the rookies?
Yeah, there's a few things that I've seen along the way. There's One would have to be when you got given business class tickets, because if you fly over 7 hours in Union, you get upgraded to business. So if you're in the, so when we used to travel to South Africa, even if it was your debut game and you're going to play in that game, and there was a senior player that might not be playing that game, you would have to hand your business class ticket over.
Oh, so the senior player is still travelling with the team, still, but yeah, he's not playing, so he gets economy seats.
Yep, so he'll still trump you over that.
So he has to swap, go to him, swap the tickets, and he gets the economy tickets, even though that he might be playing
exactly
the next day.
They would just say, look, I don't make the rules, I just uphold them. So that's there were those ones, you know, the back of the bus. You weren't allowed to get to the back of the bus until you've earned your right after a few games. But I love those little incentives, just those little games within the team just to earn your stripes. Obviously, the jersey means a lot, but just, yeah, as you said, watching him drive down the driveway and all the boys cheering him on that, yeah, finally you can have your car park. It's humorous and I love to see that stuff in footy.
I love the initiations.
Yeah.
And when you get given your NRL debut jersey, the team gets around you and then you either have to sing a song, or throughout my career, you've either had to sing a song, answer a few questions. But the best part is when they ask you, what does a jersey mean? And you hear the stories from these players, the sacrifices that their families have made for them to be in that position, how hard they've worked. Some boys tear up. And it just makes that moment special for that player. Yeah, those were always my favourite moments whenever a player would debut.
I think it's important you touch on that, especially for our Pacifica community where family is so important. And you see, again, Viliami Fifita, his whole family came for that jersey presentation. We mentioned Moses Leota for his 150th game. And his partner and his kids are there. Like, that's what makes your journey so special, that your family comes along with you. And
over in rugby union.
Yeah, rugby union. Big news out of Fiji, their golden sport, Sevens Rugby. They have sacked their head coach, Ben Gollings, former English Sevens superstar and highest ever point scorer in the Sevens format. So they have replaced him with Fijian former captain, Osea Golinisau. So, like, he is captain of the team at the 2016 Olympics. He's won gold medal there, back-to-back World Seven Series titles, and he is now the head coach for the Fijian Sevens team. You know, Paris Olympic Games is in July, 4 months away. They've made a change in Fiji for their men's sevens team, and by having Golinisau as head coach, and by all reports, he's got the respect of the country and the players behind him just because of who he was as a player. They're saying he's like the Nathan Cleary of the Sevens, just to put things in context. They're coming second still. They're equal second in the world standing. So it's a tough one. Ben Gollings has tried his best. As I said, it's not like he doesn't know the game of Sevens, but the fact is they've just made this change because they haven't won. And Fijian Sevens, they're so used to winning titles that when they're not, it's just they feel like this is the right change. Hopefully they kill it and go well for their gold medal, and that change is a successful one. But in the women's game, Super W kicks off this weekend, and this is one that should have been top of the news, because I have never seen this. This is rarer than rocking horse poo, T.
What do you got for me?
Mate, this is...
Wait, what'd you say, rocking horse poo?
Yeah, it's rarer than rocking horse poo. Do you get that?
Never heard of it.
Because there's no such thing as rocking horse poo. But anyway, that's why it's rare. But Cook Islander, Ash Masters, she's a captain of the Rebels team in the Super W, gun hooker. She's played for the Wallaroos at the highest level. And because she's so versatile, sometimes she plays in the back row.
Born in the Cook Islands.
Born in the Cook Islands as well. But she is living every front rower's dream, where she has moved to the back line. She is starting at outside centre, number 13, as skipper for the Melbourne Rebels. What about that? So you're getting your head out of the scrum, no more. You've got your licence to kick. You've got your licence to throw a cutout. You have the licence to do what you want in the back line. Like, that, to me, is huge news for the Front Rowers Club.
Isn't that a different responsibility, though? Because you've got more space to defend.
it's a totally different.
It's a whole different.
It's
role.
A whole different role. It's almost like a whole different game.
Usually, we see players making their way infield, not outfield.
Not outfield. And I've only ever seen this once in my time over in Japan. But Ashley, well done. I hope you kill it in the 13 jersey, because I'd love to see more of it. And you can see her playing in that 13 jersey tonight when they play against the Western Force. Round one kicks off. So, yeah, that's rugby union news.
Beautiful. All right, let's get to our first expert, the one and only Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, each week we have Fetu Samoa, an NRLW superstar, premiership winner with the Roosters, Tigers best and fairest last season, and the 2023 Dalian Prop of the Year. And the list just seems to keep going on. Sala Tongatuki, thank you for joining us here on Nijin Footy.
Thanks, guys, for having me again. It's good to be back. Talk some footy.
Yes. Speaking of footy, how was your week in footy?
Yeah, it's been good. We actually started our Origin Pathways camp on Tuesday, and I was lucky enough to actually get in and around the girls. First time, actually, I think it's been 6 months since my surgery, and I was able to get my hands on the ball, get the ball rolling. I guess my ankle's healing really well. But yeah, and I've just been in and around the Tasha Gale girls. They've got to do a die game so this weekend. So being a mentor for them and an assistant coach, I've just tried my best to make time and help those young girls out. So yeah.
What's it like having to watch the girls train on the field and then, you know, being on the sidelines, being injured, and then trying to do your own rehab? How's that been for yourself?
I feel like I've actually taken it on pretty well. I'm actually like all positive. I think of when you think and do good for others, and that it's sort of like good karma for yourself as well. So, and I have been around some players that sort of have the ick about obviously not being in there and being around it. But I've always been that player that I don't want to be that player that's doing it, but then having someone else feel like, you know, feeling shit about it. So I try and just do the opposite of it and just, I guess just cheer the girls on and help out where I can, because it's all about growing a game.
I love that, and I bet your teammates appreciate that as well.
Yeah, nice. And yeah. We had Pauline Rasambale on last week. What an amazing story, you know, just from Union from Union to League with her kids. You know, someone like her, what's she like for the Tigers group?
She's been great for the group. She's honestly, like, obviously she's still finding her feet in the NRLW. I played a bit of clubland footy with Pauline at St. Mary's, and I sort of always knew that she was she had potential playing the halves, but even more around, like, just ball playing. I was even trying to tell her, like, bro, I think you could play lock. And she was like, oh, really? And I'm like, yeah, like, just having chats around. She's the leader herself. Obviously being one of the older girls now, but she keeps herself young, being around a young group of girls in our team. She's very professional, very positive too. I just feel like we've got good culture. Like, results weren't turning our way, but she was sort of a big part of keeping culture and checking in with players. So she's a real good player to sort of have on your team. It's sort of someone you want. We were lucky to have her because she was sort of the only one with kids in our team, the two boys that she's got. And just seeing how much she had to balance and the sacrifices that she had to sort of do. I've always heard of the stories of the players, past players, paving the way, even having kids. And just seeing it full on with Pauline and that, I feel like she handles herself really well, not just on the field, but off the field. And we try and, help out with her boys too. So we wanted her kids to feel at home whenever they were able to come to trainings with her, just to make it her schedule easier. So yeah, she's really good.
That's beautiful.
I think this year she'll go really like one level better. She's been doing a lot of extras, working a lot with other coaches and sprint coaches and that. Honestly, the way she carries herself, it's just really professional. And yeah, she's a really great person.
Yeah, I love how the user created that environment at the West Tigers. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to both of you guys playing in the NRLW this year. But moving on to last night's game, the Broncos versus the Bunnies, which Nijin players stood out for you?
I had, obviously, Payne Haas. He's so consistent. He didn't quite play the full minutes that he normally would, but he ran for like 200 metres. And I was like, bro, and 84 metres, like, with post-contact. Now that itself is like, it speaks a lot how much he injects himself in the middle, and that you need go forwards like that for him. I know when the middles are going forward, the fancy footy stuff comes off the back of that. 100% tackle efficiency. Sorry, I did my, but even nice. Zero tackles. So that's like the work rate in attack, but also in defense. That's just like, honestly, you got to give credit where it's due, right?
Yep.
And then even like, I think I did highlight this player in a preseason game, which was Brendan Piakura. I find that he's, bro, like he's just an absolute gun, eh? Just hard runner. Yeah, plays really well outside of Ezra Mann. But yeah, I found he was really good for Broncos.
Yes, Cook Islander, Brendan Piakura.
Oh, is he Cookie?
Yeah, he's Cookie. Yeah. He's represented Cook Islands a few times now. He's got
Is he from NZ though?
I think he grew up in Queensland. Yeah, he's got a strong Cook Island background, but he's got late left foot step. So he'll run fast up until the defensive line.
Late foot, okay. Yeah, and then he just
jumps up and then a late foot step that sort of pokes his head through, finds his front. Yeah. He's a weapon in attack. Yeah. Who else stood out for you?
Oh, speaking of Cook Island, the Davey Moale that came off the bench, him and Saliva Havili, I don't know if I've, sorry, correct me if I've said his name, but their impact, like, to the second start of the half for Rabbitohs was so well, like, it was so good. Like, they both had tries, but that's what they, like, the Souths and that sort of needed. They struggled to find, like, field position in the first half. Those two come on and just done their job and that. And yeah, like, I feel Davey Moale is, he's, in, like, developing really well. I know that he was coming off the bench a bit last year. He still is, but I reckon he could sort of aim for that starting jersey.
Yeah, you're not wrong. He is growing to be a superstar, especially in the middle. Mm-hmm. It takes a bit of time. But both those players made a huge impact, and well done to the Broncos for getting the job done. Now, looking forward to the rest of the NRL round. What games have stood out for you and other Nesian players?
I'm going to have to obviously go with our West Tigers boys and the Raiders. Obviously, I'm looking out more for Jareem Buller. I've seen and heard around the club that obviously he's done some work with Greg Inglis, but he's also, after those couple of mentor sessions, he's come out pretty vocal, given his key, like his role as playing fullback, and that's pretty key for him to sort of come out of his shell and do that. And also Solomona Fatape. I think he's debuting for the club. He actually came in as a top 30 dev player from the Brisbane Tigers, Q Cup. And obviously Justin Olam out at the moment due to injury. He's come in and he's got a shot at obviously having his debut for the club. So
good.
I think he'll match up really well with Matthew Tomoko for Raiders. He's got a bit of experience, but I think it'll be a good challenge for Solomona. Matthew being quick, great footwork at the line, and he's just confident with the ball in hand. So, I'd like to see them two go toe-to-toe in the backs.
So I guess you are tipping the Tigers in this one then?
I've got to. Come on, Mike.
Living out at Western Sydney, there's no bigger games in Western Sydney than when Penrith play the Parramatta Eels. Now, this rivalry goes back to junior days when you're playing Hal Matthews, SG Ball, and usually the finals are between Penrith and Para. What do you think of this game, and what players are you looking forward to watching?
I'm obviously going to be a bit biased here. Like the last couple of matchups, the last couple of games, they've come head to head. Eels have obviously gone away with the win, but I do support Penrith Panthers, given I grew up around there. So I'm going to tip the Penrith here for this one, but I do feel like it's going to be a tough win to get for them against the Eels. I like to see Will Pennicini and Taylor May. Not sure if it's Taylor May or not. It just depends who they put up against Will Pennicini. He's hard to handle on that edge and that pretty explosive. He's been really good to watch as well. So even the boys, Taylor and Isaac, but whoever goes up against Will, I think that'll be a good, really good matchup there. They'll see whoever can handle whoever, really. And then in the middle, Moses Iliota and Junior Polo.
Yes.
I love.
Oh, man, there's matchups galore in this game. How good. BMD, some players to watch out for.
I've highlighted Danny Parisi. She's a prop and she's a starting front row for Burley Bears. She normally comes off the bench and out for the Titans in the NRW. But she was someone I like actually enjoyed watching in the NRW 2023 season. And reason for why I highlighted her is given that she's starting. But you've got the likes of experienced players of Chelsea Lenarduzzi and Tasman Gray that's coming off the bench. You normally have those girls who are really good at when they're starting and at for any team given. So she's looking fit actually as well. And I've heard from some of the girls that she's put in the work in the off season. And last week she actually did her job really well. Got a line break, tackle breaks. That she did all those little things that sort of add up to what a good middle would be and do for a team. But I've been stalking a young Polynesian player. I've been hearing how good she's been for the women's game or is going to be for the women's game. And her name's Shalom Sawaso. You have to literally, like I'm saying it here right now, she'll be the next big thing for the women's game, whether it be she's playing both codes at the moment.
I was going to say, she's staying in Union. All right,
no,
she's staying
not.
In Union.
Oh, she's... Honestly, she'd probably be
dual international. She's a gun.
Yeah, dual international. I reckon she'll be. She's only 16 years old and bloody debuting for the Reds in their opening Super W. But she's also locked in with the Broncos Academy, which is a development program that Broncos have, and she's on a 2-year contract with them. She's different, bro. Honestly, she's got a body of a middle, like explosive and strong, but then she's got a speed of like just so agile, like she's so good at, and like you could say she could play anywhere, I reckon. But yeah, hopefully we can see a bit of her in the rugby league. But yeah, she's been someone I like. I've been enjoying watching her highlights and that.
This is what's going to happen. She's going to play for the Reds, and then rugby league's going to throw the book at her. She's going to realize how much money she can make in our game,
and then she's coming over
to rugby league. So on that note,
she's going to go gold medal first and then come over.
Sorry, what about all the Union players coming over the league at the moment?
Oh, yeah, don't remind.
Stacey, I think, Walker, she's gone to Broncos, but NRW.
Kazzy, we dissect this on Mondays. It's a soft spot. We can't have it on Fridays as well.
Don't remind me. He gets
sorry,
upset.
I had to dissect mine here.
It's a sensitive topic when it comes to my mate over here.
Yes.
Shelley Long.
That's what
Shelley
I'm saying.
Long hurts him every Monday.
Every Monday I hear the same thing of cross code hopping. It's yeah.
Yeah,
we don't bring it up on Friday, all right?
But okay, we do appreciate it. But on that note, we'll finish up. We appreciate your expertise in the game of rugby league. And for
Thank
your
you.
Case, this weekend. Up the Tigers, and we'll see you next week on Nijin Footy Fridays.
Thanks, boys. I really
appreciate
it.
Recipe of the week.
T, our recipe of the week. It's going off. People have been using it. So I've heard.
Plenty of otai.
Plenty of otai, yep. We
across Vanuatu.
Shout out Vanuatu. Much love to you all out there, especially the fire ants, I think they're called, Port Vila. But anyway, let's go to this week. We're going to move to the food side of things, and we're going to go to a Tongan delicacy, being Lotte Horsey.
No.
Yes.
You are not allowed to do that on here on Ninja.
Why,
footy,
but it's part of the people of the kingdom.
So Lotte Horsey is LOI. HOOSI.
Yes, and you can translate the horsey bit to
horse.
Horse. Exactly.
We're going there.
Yes.
I can't believe we're going there.
Hey, so I just thought we'll dig a little bit deep into this one, not too far into it, but we're just saying, look, the dish came because of affordability. Horse meat was readily available, affordable to many Tongans. When horses died naturally, due to accidents.
I can't believe this.
And, you know, if they didn't run well in their horse races, the ones that came last ended up on the plate of us Tongans. So it's a traditional dish. Look, These are the ingredients.
Yeah, only in Tonga. Only in Tonga, you think?
No, I'll get to that piece. I think, yeah, I'll get to that. Consists of diced onions, coconut cream, a lot of coconut cream to take away the flavour of
the horse.
And a lot of salt. And according to Google, it's succulent horse meat. Succulent. Beautiful. It's shredded up. You know, like, there you go. So you get your heat, and here's a method. You heat a pot or a pan over medium heat. You dice up your onions. You mince your garlic. You put that in first. You follow me, T?
Yeah, I got
you. Yeah, you follow me? You look like you got bloody disgust on your face. You're not feeling this one.
Continue.
Not feeling it. Anyway, and you stir that in, your salt, your pepper, any other flavours you want, and then you pour the horse meat in diced slices.
Yeah, can you explain to me the horse meat? So does it come as a steak? Does it come as a like shredded meat?
Yeah,
is it diced meat?
Yeah, like, it comes in like big chunks.
Okay.
And you got to dice it up yourself.
So you got to cut the leg off the horse.
Yeah, it's like, almost like when you're doing a goat's curry or something like that, you're dicing it up. Ooh, mouth watering. How good.
Just to confirm, you've had horse meat?
I had it once when I was younger. Didn't know it was horse meat. And I thought it was,
didn't know. Horse meat.
Cousin goes, here, try this. It was actually really nice. Told me it was horse, and I had to walk away from it.
Well, continue on with the method.
Anyway, it's almost like a pasta style. You know, when you're doing minced meat over the onion, so you get the flavors coming through the horse meat and whatever seasoning you want on there. And then you stir it around medium heat, making sure it becomes, cooked through. I don't know if you can have medium. No, I lied. I'll get to that bit. And make sure it's nice, tender, served hot. It like that good. The coconut, absolutely. Oh.
So you cook the meat, then you pour the coconut cream in.
Yeah, pour it over the top and let it simmer.
Okay.
Let it simmer. Get in there. And you serve it with either rice or talo, manioque. And that's what it's served with. You have
so
it for all
like
these occasions.
Diced cubes meat.
Ends up becoming shredded because it's like almost like a medium heat. So it doesn't feel like you're eating it like a, like chunks.
And then it shreds into a shredded brisket kind of.
Yes, exactly like that.
Because I only know because when we used to go to Kefu Cup, which is a rugby union tournament that they would hold in Sydney, and a Tongan rugby union tournament, and they would sell plates of rice and meat. And then I was told that the meat was horse from my teammates.
Yeah. Did you eat it? Negative.
I had a taste of it, but it was like shredded brisket.
Yeah, and that's it. It sells out, I'm telling you. It goes, that they put their sign up, 20 minutes, all the plates are gone. That's what it is. So so obviously in other cultures, they might have different opinions of, what you do with horses, more of a companion animal, like a friend,
like
you
a
ride,
pet. Yep.
A pet, a means of transport. But, for us Tongans, we like to, do both. You'd be the transport, you also be the feed as well. So, and then you talked about other cultures having it. Japan, when I lived in Japan, they have horse sashimi, raw horse.
Raw horse.
And I actually ate that, and I ate it quite a bit when I was in Japan. Beautiful. So it's raw, like sashimi, like salmon.
You're a kid. That explains
thinly
it.
Thinly sliced. Mate, and then you have a raw egg next to you with the yolk, and then you.
Oh, mate, you're making me sick.
Yeah, hey, but there is the recipe for loyal horsey for us Tongans.
Well done, Sammy, and much love to all our Tongan community listening here on Nijin Footy.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, the man joining us every week, the most recent Ikaletahi coach for the last 7 years, a Wallaby and Queensland Reds legend, over 100 Super Rugby caps. And a fun fact here, Kef, the last time Australia held the Bledisloe Trophy, I was 14 and Tinara was 12 years old. So, Torai Kefu, the old bull, welcome to the show.
Oh, love those introductions.
Beautiful, mate. Hey, Super Rugby round 3, what was your initial thoughts?
Well, looking at two Pacifica teams, I saw you, Waitsi. Were you commentating on that the game in Lautoka?
Yeah, I was over there for that draw game against the Crusaders.
Crazy stuff, hey?
Yeah, unreal atmosphere.
And then a complete contrast when I saw the Rebels play Moana in an empty North Harbour Stadium, it looked like.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening with the crowds in New Zealand and in Australia. Hopefully games like the draw and the entertainment that's happening around some of the Pacific players, hopefully it brings them back.
We just keep sending all the games over to Fiji, I reckon.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
That'll suit the draw because I don't think they'll get beaten in Fiji this year. What a game. The conditions looked a bit humid, slippery, a lot of mistakes, drop ball, but what a win, hey. Gee, Crusaders are in uncharted territory, hey. How would Rob Penny be feeling?
Well, on that, like, again, 0-2, he's inherited a team that's won 7 titles, ready to go back-to-back. Like, as a coach, like, how would you manage that yourself first and preparing the players? But also, yeah, what do you implement in training throughout the week just to make sure energy's high and morale's high?
Oh, look, I think you've got to really dissect the game and to identify some key areas. You know, a lot of coaches, you know, they three losses in a row, they start to panic, and that's the worst thing you can do. And there could be a number of things that probably need adjusting. But I think as a coach, it's really important to keep your head, maybe focus on 1-2 things max to fix and really drill down on that. Because if you end up looking at 5, 6, 7 different things, you probably end up fixing none. So, you know, look at 1-2 different things max and then drill down on that. And then hopefully that could make some positive adjustments throughout the week. But, you know, you've got to keep positive. You know, it's a long season. You know, they got a home game this week. Doesn't get any easier. They got the Hurricanes. But, you know, they've just got to keep things positive you know, keep things light and really just stay the road, so to speak.
What about, I know as a player, you go through those moments of doubt, question your ability, especially when you're not in form. As a coach, how do you manage that process when, say, a lot of things are out of your control, but, like, how do you manage that process of, like, doubt of, like, man, am I a good coach how do I manage this? How do you do that as a coach?
Bloody good question, Wikesy. I've been through all that kind of stages and process. And one thing I kept falling back on was whatever decision I had to make about the team, you always had to make it what was best for the team, not what was best for you and not what was best for the individual. Always when you make really important decisions and you seek advice from, you know, other staff and coaches, but you always make decisions around what was best for the team, what is best for the team.
Yeah, nice. Man, I'd hate to be in those shoes. And Rob Penny for the Crusaders, such a great coach. But Mick Byrne, the drawer, seeing his pre-match interview, he loves playing in Fiji. Like, you can just tell his eyes light up when he talks about the crowd, the atmosphere, that humidity. 1 o'clock kickoff, and you saw that as the Crusaders boys were getting off the ground, it was like an oven with the grass steaming up because it was raining beforehand. It rained later, so it was sticky. The drawer, playing in those conditions, you know, what stood out for you? What player stood out for you in that one?
I think the halves were unbelievable. Lomani and Isaiah Armstrong. That young kid at 5'8", he's got the world at his feet. The way he's played over the last 3 weeks has been someone much more experienced than him. He's going to be a big star. Those two have been outstanding. Although I'm looking at the team sheet now for this week, they've got the Chiefs away. Frank Lomani goes to the bench, which I was quite surprised about because that combination's been really, really going on from strength to strength, I thought.
Yeah, what do you think of the Moana Pacifica game and which player stood out for you?
Yeah, look, I think a shout out to old mate Julian Sevilla. He's I thought he played well again. The captain Sione Taletui, but to become the record try scorer in Super Rugby, I think deserves some recognition. I looked down that list for my name, and the list didn't go that long. yeah, look, I think if Moana were serious, that was a game they probably should have won. So they'll be really disappointed. Willie Havili, I thought he's been going okay. So he changes now. He's moved back to the bench. I thought they might put him at fullback. But look, the bus has been going well. There's a young kid they've picked on the wing for this game against the Force this week. Young Kyron Taumalolau. We had him in the World Cup squad last year. He's a bit of a freak. He's an unbelievable ball runner, slightly built, really good kid, come from a really good family, Tasman boy. I'm expecting big things from him as well. He's only a young fella.
He seems relaxed in nature. Is that what he's like off the field?
Very, very relaxed, yeah. He doesn't say much. He just cruises along. But, geez, when he's got a bit of space and the ball in hand, unstoppable.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Reds this week, your mighty Reds, we've spoken about them a couple of times, caused the upset, so to speak, against the Chiefs. You know, what about them this week?
Yeah, I was at that game. Unbelievable atmosphere. Great win. And, I visited them in the dressing shed. There was a few tears around, actually. So you could see how Les Kiss has actually really brought the team together really well. They're close-knit. They had family in the dressing sheds, which I've never seen before. And I thought that was what a fantastic idea to really connect the players and the family straight away after a really good win. They've got the Rebels. So just imagine being the Rebels this week, Wikesy. I mean, after the Reds beat the Chiefs last week, top of the table, the Rebels are going to absolutely come out fireballs out their eyes. They'll be absolutely pumped for this game. So the Reds need to watch out. They should win this game, the Reds. But, you know, when the Australian teams play against each other, anything can happen.
There you go, Sammy. One for your tipping.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who I went for. I might change my tip. I might change my tip after that one, I think.
The Reds should win, but you just never know. I see Daniela's starting. This is his first start for the year. Obviously the set piece is going to play a big part. And with the Australian teams, the set piece is really important. If Rebels get some scrum dominance, it's going to be a little bit of a, I think it's going to be a tight tussle.
Yeah, nice. What other games and Nijan players are you looking forward to watching this weekend?
Drua, Junior Ratuva, remember we talked about him weeks ago?
Yeah,
the big winger.
Yep.
From league. He gets a start. So I don't think he was in the squad last week.
He came off the bench still. He came off the bench.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, he gets a start this week. I can't wait till he plays. He's one to look out for. This halfback, Kuruvolu, that is going to take Frank Lamani's spot. I'm interested to see how he goes. These Fijians, they just pull them out from everywhere, don't they? Like there's some players that played in the first couple of games. I've never seen them before, and now they're gone, and they're bringing all these other players in.
Well, there's a lock there, Vode. He's a young 21-year-old, I think. They just said that he was lost in the seven system. They weren't really using him. Mick Burns just seen this 6'6" Fijian that could just run like a back, and he's just put some development into him the last, 12 months. And, mate, he's been outstanding. Like, I walked past him and I looked up and I was like...
You looked up.
I looked up to him and I was like, oh, wow. It just is like, but skinny, but like his arms were just huge. A horse bit him on the tricep there, and he just cut in there. They're just chiseled, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They're sinewy kind of strength, real lean. And it's the strength that they get from working on the farm, you know, walking probably 20 Ks a day just to get to school or get to work. And you can walk into any village in Fiji and pull out a footy team.
You're not wrong, mate. It's you talk about high performance and all these centre of excellences, and then you just see a village with a drink bottle as a footy and pull out absolute freaks. But moving on to Super W, that starts this week. We're just having a chat earlier. Ashley Masters, the hooker for the Wallaroos, good enough to play in the back row. She's starting at 13, so she's moved from hooker to the back row, now starting that outside centre. Kef, I was trying to paint a picture to these guys about how that's rarer than rocking horse poo, and I've used that a few times now. But have you ever seen that in your career where a front row has just made their way to the back line?
No, you see a lot of hookers play back row. You don't see many go to the back line, although I've got a little bit. Someone brought this up the other day, actually. I played a Super Rugby game with my brother in the centres. It would have been way back. And then I also played a Barbars game for the Wallabies with my brother in the centres. That's probably the only kind of situation I could relate it to.
Stevie 13, or were you playing 13?
Mate, I couldn't. If I played 13, the attack would be running everything at me. I was 12, and I pushed Stevie to 13 only because 13 requires a lot more intelligence and a lot more running. So I pushed Stevie to 13, but we played against the Barbars at Carter Farms Park. We won that game, and then we played a Super Rugby game against, I think it was the Stormers in George. Where someone got sick and then they put me to 12, and we just lost that game on the full time bell, actually.
Oh, mate, you should have just made a home there. It would have been outstanding, buddy. How good. But
just going back to the Super Rugby Women's, they start this week. I think just doing some reading on it, I think the Drew are going to be strong again. Queensland, New South Wales. Really strong again. One thing I've noticed has been there's been a lot of player movement within the teams.
Yeah, there has been. Yeah,
a lot of players have also gone to rugby league, sevens programs. Also, New Zealand's got the same kind of women's competition internally as well. So I think you can't look at past form, but I think it might be a really different competition this year. But just looking at the competition, geez, you've got to come out of the blocks quick, eh? It's only 2 months?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's a sprint of a competition, and then they go to their test season. And that's why I guess the Super W teams have had a fair few preseason games, and which might hurt the Fijiana drawer. They've only had the one trial game in Fiji.
Yeah.
So like that, and they've had a lot of changes as well within their squad.
Yeah.
So it'll be quite tough maybe for them to go for the three-peat.
Yeah, like I said, it's a quick competition. You really need to get some wins early and start to build a little bit of momentum quite early because it's a sprint. It's not a long race
One last thing, Kef, before we go. Again, I know we touched on the Wallabies doco last week, but one thing that was featured a lot in that doco was Alan Alatoa. You know, he's obviously a leader within at test level and also at the Brumbies, captain, and everyone just had that respect for him as a player, and he's almost like the glue, the godfather of the team to, you know, call the jets when needed, give the firm chat when needed. Obviously, you would have had that aura within your teams that you played in. You've won World Cups and Tri-Nations, Bledisloes, all that. Like someone like him, what was it like in your day for yourself to have a player like Alan in the mix?
Yeah, really good point. Those type of players are really important for rugby programs or sporting programs. Like you said, they're players that players looked up to, respected. They didn't have to say much, but when they did say something, everyone listened. But you also had what was really important in programs were players that were, you know, had a good energy about them, really positive. We always had a smile on their face. Like we went, if you go back to your question before about, you know, enduring 3-4 losses in a row, having people with a lot of energy keeps that energy going around the place, because you know what it's like the week after you have a loss or 2-3 losses in a row compared to a week after you have a win. Totally different weeks, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Like,
when you're on a bit of a roll, like people are walking around, everyone's talking, laughing, communicating, you know, it's the vibe's just different. But when you're enduring losses like the Crusaders are at the moment, like you could hear a pin drop sometimes in the gym, you know, there's just no energy. So you look to players who bring players together, tell stories, connect people, guys that re-energize the place, you know. And look, I'm just thinking, there's one guy who came from league back in my day. There's one guy who came from league. Guess which player this is, all right? He came from league. This is in Brisbane for the Reds, all right?
Wendell Saylor.
Right on.
Nice.
Anyway.
I was going to get anyway. LT, but anyway.
He knew it straight away. We went to, so his first tour to South Africa, like he calls himself the Big Dell, right? And we roomed together. And, mate, he's a guy that just brings people together. After talking to him for 10 minutes, you go away like you're 10 foot tall. You got a smile on your face. You just feel real, you know, you just feel real happy. Mate, I roomed with him for 2 weeks in South Africa. I came home. I was calling myself the Big Kev. I started using myself in the third person. Oh, mate, my wife put me back in my place. She said, I know certainly you're not the Big Kev. So I went just going back to being normal old Toto.
Oh, that's unreal.
Last one from me. When we speak about them glue players and the ones with the energy, who are those players in the Ekalitahi team?
Oh, mate, I had this staff member. His name was Tony Alatini. All right. Now, the boys loved him. And, mate, he would work his ass off. Like, he was always continually working, doing stuff for the boys, doing stuff for the staff. He was like an assistant manager. Now, I would get him. First thing in the morning, we always have lotu, all right? After lotu, Tony Alatini gets up. He just walks up and he makes the room laugh. Like, he's just – he brought so much energy. And, you know, we went through some big losses. Like, I remember losing to the All Blacks by 100 points. But you get Tony Alatini, he brings the energy, you know, and he starts – He trains every morning, so he gets up into this meeting, shadow boxes, and everyone starts laughing. And then he tells stories of the old days back in Ekalitahi, because he played for Ekalitahi. And he used to tell us stories like, you guys got 3 meals a day. You guys are sleeping in a nice hotel. Man, we between 20 of us, we shared 4 rooms once, you know. And he was telling stories around how they had no money back then and all this. And he's one perfect example. He's the guy that you just look for a space in your roster, you know. You look for a space in your staff, because he was just a guy that re-energized everyone. And I think you need those people.
Oh, that's awesome. That's outstanding, Kev, mate. Love those stories back in your day. Beautiful. Loved your tips about what's going to happen this week in both Super Rugby and Super W. And we look forward to doing it all again next week, bro. So have a good week, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks, bro.
Pleasure, boys. Thanks.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
It's time, Sammy, with old Professor Paulo.
The prof, I spoke to him yesterday.
Yeah?
He's good, mate. I was trying to get some, tried to lead him down the path of giving me the inside word. Gave me nothing.
Of course you did. Well, the score is 1-1. Actually, I'm on 2-2, actually. I got a point for getting Wendell Saylor.
Oh, for no.
That was a who am I. Straight away, how
no,
good
mate.
That? You went Lloyd Tekeri.
Yeah, well, it was one of two of them. But anyway, oh, no, Tekeri didn't even play for the Reds. Jokes, he went straight to the Tars.
Man, so, 1-1, And it's another Who Am I from the old professor. Let's get a crack.
Let's get into it.
Who am I? I was born on the 14th of September 1989 in Salt Lake City, Utah. I am of Samoan and Tongan heritage. I had learned to play this game in my garage, hitting balls against the mattress, and was lucky to be a part of the Netflix series Full Swing.
Turn it up. Tony Fennell.
Let's go!
The answer is, and my cousin of Samoan heritage, Tony Fennell.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, that's two to me, one to you. I'm good at these Who Am I's. You got to stop thinking rugby union or rugby league. Get out of that box.
To be honest, I was actually, and I'm trying to think, he's hitting the ball against a mattress. I'm thinking cricket.
What, out of
baseball.
Canada?
Oh, no, or then baseball. Then I've gone cricket, baseball. Who's in the Major League Baseball? And then he's gone, mate, Tony Fennell is more Tongan than Samoan there.
I didn't know he was Samoan
didn't
as well.
Didn't know that either. I'm just gone off his last name for now, but T, well done.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Well, Sammy, as you can see, you are doing awful, but we have our knockout tipping comp, and I am wiping the floor with Sammy. The rules are similar to a usual knockout comp in that you only pick one team each week, and you're not allowed to pick that same team
twice.
Yep. You get a point if your team wins. So
4-1.
I'm on 4-1.
4-1.
Yeah, you're on one, I'm on four.
And I just lost the prov question. Mate, what am I doing? Donuts last week, 0-2. I went the Titans with the game of the round, and then I went the Chiefs. Chiefs! Undefeated, but the Reds played really well. So, and you got two from two. Eels beating the Dogs and the Highlanders winning at the death against the Tars. But
doesn't matter. Like on Fast and Furious, you win by an inch, you win by a mile, you still win.
Shush and just choose your team. Hurry up.
And this week, I will be going with the Chiefs beating the Drua. Now, apologies to all our Fijian Drua fans, but
I need to win this comp.
Yeah, but I want to win. No, put the emotions aside. I don't want to go against the Drua, but when they play away, they have a bad record, and the Chiefs are strong at home. So I'm going the Chiefs this round. And in the rugby league, I will be taking my old club, the Sharkies, to beat the Doggies this weekend.
Nice. Well, I hope Celestino Ravutamanda absolutely carves up for the Drua and finally wins away from home. And they win that game. So perfect. They're your ones. I'm going the Blues versus the Tars. Yeah, I'm going to go the Blues in that game.
Why? Why the Blues? Or why not the Tars? That's why.
I've tipped against the Tars 2 weeks in a row. I don't know. I just feel like the Blues have a good record against the Tars. I think that the Tars have only won 12% of their games against the Blues in history. So I'm going to stick with that stat. And I'm going to go the Cowboys up in Townsville to beat the Knights.
Let's go Kalen Ponga.
Kalen, have an ordinary game, please, for the sake of Nijan Footy. But that's our time done for another episode of Nijan Footy Fridays. Thanks to Salah. Thanks to Thortai. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijan Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.